point. Just one point. It's in the parochim that we were doing, and they were all intertwined. It's Yud-Alef, Yud-Beis, Yud-Gimel, Yud-Dalet, Tesvav. Okay? They're all intertwined, and I believe we spoke about them last time, the relationship, how they're all interrelated. But there's one point I don't think we took up. At least I don't remember we took up. It deals with the Abba Midos Ba'odom, that's Yud, Yud-Alef, Yud-Beis, through Tesvav. So Arba Midos Ba'odom it deals with, and then Arba Midos B'deos, Noach Lichos, different psychological attitudes. Then Arba Midos B'talmidim. Right? And these prokem deal with perfection. And perfection in Yadus involves two things. Interesting. Perfection in Yadus involves not just ethical perfection, but intellectual perfection. And the two are intertwined, and you can't separate one from the other. That's why Talmud Chacham is at the center of the sphere of the whole institution of Yadus, socially and then philosophically and everything. Because the Talmud Chacham, there's no such thing as law moritz chassid. It's not just ethical perfection, but the perfection is intellectual and ethical, both intertwined. One without the other is not a perfection. So the Mishnah puts them all together. So the Mishnah has Arba Midas B'talmidim. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that over here it doesn't say. It says, when it came to Arba, so it used Midas Dom, it used, this is a chassid, this attitude is a chassid, this attitude is a rasha. But now when it came to Arba Midas B'talmidim, where it says, Ma'al Ishmo, Ma'al Abe, that's intellectual abilities. So the Rambam says, observe, he didn't call the person that remembers a chassid, and he didn't call the person that forgets a rasha. Why? Because he says, it's Eino B'yada. Intellectual abilities is not under the person's control. That's Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Meir Shemayim. So it means that whether a person has a good memory or doesn't have a good memory, he can't control it. He can't control it. And he's born with it. Either he's born with it, either he has it or he doesn't. Same thing with Amkus. Either the person has the ability, he's a great thinker, great mind, or else he doesn't. He has his limitations. So that's something which you can't do anything about. You can't call him a Russia. It's unfortunate. Okay. So he says like this. So it's interesting. In the intellectual, it's broken up into two areas, Yud Beis and Tesvav. We went through the Midos. So we didn't do the intellectual, if I remember correctly. Abba Midos Talmidim, Ma'al Ishmor, Ma'al Abed. All right. That means he's not a Zachron, he can't remember. That's Yud Beis. Yotza Shor B'Efseido. All right. Kasha L'Shmoa Kasha L'Abed, Yotza Efseido B'Shor. Maya L'Shmoa V'Kasha L'Abed is Chacham. Kasha L'Shmoa Ma'al Abed Zechel Akra. All right, so I give you four possibilities. The person can be a Kasha L'Shmoa. It doesn't take a long time until he absorbs. But then he can be retentive. He can have retention. And then you have four possibilities out of those, because of those two factors. Okay. Then you have, yeah. Rabbi Yonah says something. He says, Memar l'shmo, memar l'abed, ha'hefzid meruba. Kivin sheshocheach miyad, ma to'elos v'ma she'mevin v'yodea mehera. There's no benefit. So he understands very quickly. He has a quick tfisa. In Yiddish, say, a leichte tfisa. He has a fast tfisa, he understands very well, but he forgets. He says, Harei kol nishkach. Avol. Kosha l'shmoav. Kosha l'abed. Person may take a while until he understands, not so quick, but he's kosha l'abed, but he's retentive. Haschah merubah. Kiav she yovelo b'tarach godol, eina shocheach. Acha she yeda. He says, Ushinehem. They both shouldn't stop learning. Why? All right. He says, that's not something I tell you in the Yeshivas. Okay. Asechel matana v'amusakim. So that's what Rabbeinu Yehuda says. Same shah as Rambam. But he says, nevertheless, even though a person forgets, he still has to constantly be involved in learning. Why does it have to be? But it's an interesting thing. See, why does he say? See, what was bothering? Something was bothering Rabbeinu Yehuda. What was bothering Rabbeinu Yehuda? Bothering Rabbeinu Yehuda is a simple thing. So what's the purpose of telling this? I can't do anything about it anyways. What's the purpose of it? So that's why he says, "V'lamadnu mizos ha-mishnah lahakdim ha-zachron l'shocheach." The main learned today, l'fanas shnei, l'fanas ha-zachron. He says the difference is a practical difference. He says that a person who's more retentive, and you have money to support somebody to learn Torah, so there's only enough money for one person, you should support the zachron. Which means to say that there's, even though he says before that both of these people should constantly learn, ki yesh lem socher tov ba'amalom, all right? But nevertheless, the Zachron comes first, the one that can remember. Why? Because you have to have this personal considerations and this considerations for Klal Yisrael. When it comes to supporting somebody, so then you're talking about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the person with the retention should be supported. So if you're starting a kollel and you have to make a choice. So you have to go by who's in terms of Klal Yisrael. That was the first kollel, was the public kollel, the Slabatka. So the Slabatka kollel. So they took Gedolim. They took Gedolim and they gave them 5 years in Torah. They didn't take everybody. Very different style. Anyway, so that's Allah. That's Allah. So Allah is, but he says, nevertheless, he says, but they both should learn. Why? Kiyeshnam sochatov ba'malam. What does it mean, Kiyeshnam sochatov ba'malam? It means to say that there's two things in Torah. In Torah, there's the perfection from the Yediyas HaTorah, the knowledge of the Torah, but then there's perfection from the activity of Torah. The activity of Torah is a perfection for the soul. The activity of Torah is a great perfection for the soul because insofar as a person is involved in Limud HaTorah, that's his love is Torah, that's perfection of the Neshama. That's the highest level of existence. So even though he forgets everything, it doesn't matter. That's what the Rabbeinu Yehuda says. They both have to be involved in Torah. Why Kiyesh Lehem Socher Tov Bamolam? Whether he remembers or not has nothing to do. It's not a question of whether a person should learn or not. It's not a question of whether a person should learn. That's a question in the secular world. That would be a question. Secular world. I know somebody asked me, it wasn't a firm person, and he had a friend that was from, and the friend sits and learns all the time. So he says to me, what does that person learn for? He says he's not a great scholar. He's not a thinker. He's never going to amount to anything. He's a man, he's a middle-aged man. He's sitting and learning. What's he learning for? He doesn't understand the purpose. He doesn't understand the Rabbeinu Yehuda, this fellow. Rabbeinu Yehuda says, it means the activity itself. That is the good. So the soul is in, how do you know if a person's on a high level? If he has a she'ifa for Lima. He has a she'ifa for Lima. There's more hafti Torah secha kol ayam sichasi. All the psukim tell it means she lulas rosh hashiva. It means that a person has to enjoy Torah. That's perfection. So a perfected person is one that enjoys the involvement in Torah. That doesn't matter if he remembers now. It doesn't matter if he remembers now. It's the involvement. A person who has a fantastic memory, he learns an hour a day. But is that a perfection of the soul? It's not a perfection of the soul because he doesn't like to learn, doesn't enjoy the learning. He just learns in order to accumulate knowledge. So on the contrary, so he's not perfected. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yehuda says, that the perfection is not totally in really whether you remember or not. Perfection is totally in how much you love the activity of learning. The activity, the process. That's where there's perfection. But the fact is that an individual who's retentive and has a mastery of Torah has a different view of Torah. And that's a level that not everybody can attain. That's Matas Elokim. Okay. So that's the Rabbeinu Yehuda. Now, then you have Arba Midos Biyoshvim Lefnei Chachamim. It's an interesting thing. Now it seemed like it's a repetition. Arba Midos Biyoshvim Lefnei Chachamim. Not all of them. One of them. You'll see right away what I mean. So the first one is retention, the ability to retain ideas. By the way, now the Rambam says also, that there's a kind of learning that doesn't require any memory. Any memory. What does that mean? It means like this. It means that when a person learns Torah, it is certain, even though a person might not have a good memory, but the fact is that through the process of learning, the soul attains, the neshama attains a certain kind of intuition in learning. Like the Rav used to say. He says, I'm saying, the Rav one time said to me, he says, my intuition is this way, it is not halacha. He says, And my intuition is halacha many times. And it's true. It's true. Because after a person learns Torah, the person has an intuition, like the Ram says, the person has an intuition in so far in areas that he's perfected. That type of knowledge is not lost. You don't need a memory for that. And a person that learns Torah constantly has a certain knowledge of the, even though he may forget a particular, but the knowledge that he has of the Inyonim is never forgotten. You don't need a memory for that. So a certain type of knowledge the Ram talks about in the Maran Avichim that doesn't require memory. But nevertheless, I mean, in terms of mastery of Shas, I mean, that certainly requires the Matas Alekim. Okay. Now, then you have like this. Abba Midas V'yoshim of Necham. There's four Midas of those who sit before the Chum. One is Svug, one is Mashpech, one is Mishmeres, and one is Nafal. What is Svug? It's an interesting thing. Svug is a sponge. Okay. So it means that he's so feig hakol. Strange kind of, what does this mean? Next is like this. Mashpech. Mashpech is the opposite. Mashpech means it goes in and out. The person is a student, he's learning. It's a sieve. Goes right through. Okay? Next is Mishmeres. Next is Mishmeres. What is Mishmeres? Mishmeres is where he Mishmeres is that he holds the dregs. Okay? He holds onto the dregs. That's Mishmeres. And last is Nafa. Nafa means that he takes the he refines the flour. He's left with the refined flour. So what is this referring to? What is it? It's an interesting thing. You think the first part is enough. You have the person who remembers, he doesn't remember, he quickly understands, a fast tfisa, a slow tfisa, all the possibilities. No. New Mishnah, Arba Midos B'yoshim Lefnei Chachamim. An interesting thing. First one was Arba Midos B'Talmidim. Arba Midos B'yoshim Lefnei Chachamim. What does it mean? The Mishnah is explaining that this Mishnah has to do with creativity, with Elon, with Chachma. The previous Mishnah has to do with the ability to retain, in terms of to remember the halachas, to remember the sugyas. Mastery in terms of memory, to have recall. That's the first Mishnah. This Mishnah has to do, interestingly enough, with Svara. Svara. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, I go to Shmait, says Svara. That's the whole essence of learning is Svara. And the Chachamim put four types, describe four types. So the first type is Svug. What does Svug mean? He's like a sponge. It means he absorbs everything. What, no discrimination. What do you mean no discrimination? It says he's Yoshev Lifnei Chachamim. He's Yoshev Lifnei Chachamim. What do you know? So that's very good. He absorbs everything the Chachamim say. What could be wrong? What could be wrong? And some people have an attitude like that. That I know a Talmud that learned by the Rav, and he had that attitude. Just absorb everything. Just absorb. I'll just take in everything. That's Svug. Svug. He says, Mashal Talmud she'ino mavchin ben svara nechona k'dinyan ha'svug she'koleit v'sofeg es ha'mayim ben achulim ben slumim. A sponge will not discriminate between good water and bad water. Absorb everything. So what does it mean? It's an interesting thing. Is Yoshev the Chachamim there? He's a Chachamim. So what do you mean he's not Machim? What does that mean? He's taking everything he can get from him. What does it mean? It means that in creativity, even when you're sitting in front of the greatest Chachamim, even when you're sitting in front of the greatest Chacham, the human mind is such that there's different qualities in the Svaras that they're saying. Different qualities, different levels in what they're saying. Some things are nice, other things are eye-openers. There's different quality in svaras. A chacham can't only say svara on one quality level. Impossible. Impossible is humanly impossible. Sometimes a person has a blitz, a breakthrough. It's an unbelievable thing. Other times he learns the sugya. He knows methodology. He's a lumbin. He knows how to set up a sugya. So he sets it up. He learns from the sugya. Nice. Svara. But it's not the same. So no matter who, it's an amazing mission. No matter who the Chacham is, If you're learning by that chacham and you can't discriminate and discern between a quality of svara that's the highest level and a svara that's a svara nemucha, you just absorb everything equally, then you'll never really become a great Talmid Chacham. You'll never become a great Talmid Chacham. And that's why people could be Yoshev Lifnei Chacham for years and years and still do not walk away with, sometimes it's by certain number, Gadol for 20 years, 30 years. You talk to them, funny, it doesn't seem to have gained much. But the reason is, sort. There is no way that a person can just attach himself to a chacham. People have that feeling, I'll attach myself to the chacham and I'll just take in everything he says and then that's it, I'll become a gadol. Doesn't work that way. It's impossible. Has to do with something inside the person. Remember I saw one time in science, Einstein had a student that they're very close with. They never amounted to much. So they said, well, you see from this, that even though they have the greatest teacher, they're still learning. True. That's fun. That's only fun. It means the ability has to be there in the Talmud to discern. That's matas alakin, to discern. And he has to be able to discern even in his Rebbe. To be able to say, this svara he said was naive, but that svara, that was a different matter. That's an eye-opener. And if the Rebbe will say a svara that's wrong, he has to be able to hear it. He has to be, it's a tuning for. You have to be in tune. Yes. It's matasolakim. It's matasolakim. You see, the point you mentioned is good. Personally, I think the question raised before, what's the purpose of these mishnayos? So you can't do anything about it anyways. Either you're born a great chacham or you're not. What are you going to do? I mean, a person can take his abilities and develop them. They can't give himself abilities. Okay. But I think that what Ramin is mentioning is true. That there's a certain amount that a person can gain from understanding this, because a lot of it has to do, a lot of a person's thought has to do with the approach that he has to thinking. It's through the approach. If you'll teach a person that when you go and you learn by this great Talmud Chacham, just take in everything he says. If you set up a person... And that's the problem with today's education, where they teach children. When you set up the child's mind wrong, improperly, you can destroy him. You can't give him more than he has. You can't change his abilities. But you can detract, take away from what he has by giving him a false attitude. If you tell him this man's a god, you just have to sit there and just take in everything he says. You're destroying him. You have to teach him that's not the way it works. That even in the greatest genius, greatest Talmud Chacham, there's different levels of thought. Different qualities of thought, money says, and you have to be able to discern between them. If you can't discern between them, then you're not going to become a great Talmud Chacham. So even though you can't add to the person's intellect, but you can certainly help him as far as his attitude is concerned. So that's what I mean. So, now, if it's in Domo Harav L'Malach Hashem Tzvakos, but doesn't say in his eyes, then you're right. For the Rebbe, the best thing is a svara. Unfortunately. Depends who the Rebbe is. For some Rebbeim, the best thing is a regular. But no, you're right. I mean, it's wrong. That's right. Now, he's saying that some Rebbe, that sometimes... I'll tell you, a Rebbe that promotes that attitude is really... The only thing is, you have to be discerning before you go to him. Okay. Once you get... Okay. Now, the thing is like this: that in terms of the quality, the ability, as I said before, you can't increase the ability, but the attitude is important. Now, next one is mashpech. What is mashpech? In and out. It's like a mashpech is really a what do you call it? It's a funnel. Okay. Mishmeres v'nafal. Mishmeres is easy. Mishmeres means he keeps the bad and he throws away the good. What does it mean, the bad? Again, I told you, speaking about Yoshua HaKachon, what's bad? It means to say that he's attracted to the inferior kind of svara. To the inferior. And he throws away the good. It doesn't mean, again, that they're speaking about Chachmei Yisrael. It doesn't mean the svara is bad. But it means to say he doesn't have any perception of what the svara really is. Because he has any perception of what the good svara is. So he's attracted. It means to say like this. See, what's the difference between Svug and between this person? Svug is like a person who has a blank, has no opinion whatsoever. He doesn't project his own opinion. He just comes in and takes everything. Hey, no, this one. But the one that says the, what do you call it? The one that says the Mishmeres. What is it? Mishmeres. Mishmeres, it means that he goes by his own emotions. So his own emotions causes him to be attracted to a certain kind of svara. He thinks that's a great svara. And he's off, his wavelength is off. He's not going, the first one doesn't have any opinion. This one has his own preconceived notions. Preconceived notions is very bad. It's the hardest to remove, really. Person comes to a Rebbe with preconceived notions. He doesn't know svara yet, but he likes this. This is, the problem is, you see, I'll explain what the problem is. The problem is a serious problem. A person comes to a Rebbe to learn. At the time he comes, obviously he's not a learner. Otherwise, where's he coming from? So now he's trying to learn from the Rebbe. But the point is, he has to be discerning. But how can he be discerning? He doesn't know anything yet. You understand what I mean? So he's going to have to use his own projections. His own projections, it's going to be mishmeres. You see? So how does it work? The answer is, the way to avoid mishmeres, which is the worst, of course, means his own personal prejudice, is for a person has to listen carefully, you see, and let his mind work. Let his mind function. It's a difficult thing to describe, but what it means is like this: that a person has to be taught in advance. You see, has to be primed to be able to know how to enter a shir, and to be able to discriminate between his own emotions and his intellect, and he has to allow the Torah to simply. To let his mind hear it, and then his discernment, whatever discernment he has to allow it to come to the fore. He has to, in other words, block out the part that has to do that has nothing to do with reason, that's non-reasonable, and he has to allow the reasonable part to work, so that part can discern. I mean, I'm just being descriptive, but there's no other way to handle this. Okay, that's Mishmeres. What? That can be taught, but the only thing is that, see, the point is like this. There's a certain thing that can't be taught, a certain level of this. Not everybody can, a certain amount of this can't be taught. It's essentially the Mishnah's not talking about. I'm saying the reason why the Mishnah mentioned it is because of the fact, even with regard to memory. You see, the Gemara says Chazal used to have mnemonics. So that's an important thing. But the natural ability is nevertheless a tremendous factor. You can't do anything about it.
Okay. The Mishnah is emphasizing and discussing the person's natural abilities. Of course, our society has the opposite attitude. The belief that a person can do anything that he wishes. People think that if only they could believe that they could do anything, that then they will be very happy. Of course, they don't realize how much sadness and pain that causes. Because of the fact that reality always steps in and shows them that they're incapable of doing what they imagine they could do. They don't realize how much happier they would be if they can come to a rational acceptance of their own limitations. Mishnah is speaking in terms of reality. So therefore the Mishnah emphasizes the innate ability. Nevertheless, a person will not be able to develop his innate abilities unless they have a clear understanding of how the thinking process works. And what it means to have a theoretical appreciation. That's why the Mishnah spends time explaining it. Now back to the Mishmeres is where a person operates out of his own preconceived notions. And that's why he will not choose the proper svara.
The last point. The last one is of course easy. Is the one of what? The Nafa. The Nafa means the Nafa. What is the Nafa? The Nafa is the refinement. The refinement means that he understands the Svara. He understands the Svara well, and he understands it so well that he can even refine the Svara itself. That's why I said, I want to say, the Rav never said over a Prime. Never said over a Prime. When the Rav said over a Prime, he's learning over a Prime. The Svara was his own Svara. That moment, the Svara was his own Svara. And he understood it to the finest detail. Yes, exactly, precisely. That's not fun. There's one that's a, those theories. There's one that's difficult. The difficult one is Mashbech. What is Mashbech? It goes in, it goes out. What do you mean it goes in, it goes out? I mean, that was already mentioned before. That a person, that would seem like before. The person, he understands quickly, he forgets quickly. But what is the, what is Mashbech? What does Mashbech belong to? What does it mean, Mashbech? It goes in and it goes out. What does that mean? What does that mean? Exactly. There's Mashbech is telling you there's one ingredient in being a Lamdan that's an interesting ingredient. What is it? It's the person lingers on a Svarah. There is a lingering factor in a Svarah. In other words, a person, let's say a person hears the, he hears an idea. Sometimes you see people hear an idea, it'd be a fantastic idea. 2 minutes later, they're into something else already. How's that possible? If the idea is really, the question that we're asking now is, the what does it mean? There's a mission in the end of Avos that says there are five kinyanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the world. Torah, Shemayim V'aretz, Avram, Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael. So the four we understand, the separate entities. But what does it mean when it says that Avram Avinu is a kinyan echad? What does it mean a kinyan echad? Where is he a kinyan? What does it mean he's a kinyan? Yeah, of course he was the one that discovered God, but what does it mean it's a kinyan? He's a kinyan. And how do, what raya do they have that he's a kinyan? Because it says, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon, Kone Shemayim Varetz. I mean, that's what Shem said to Avram, Mark Yitzchak said to Avram, he said, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon, Kone Shemayim Varetz. That's very nice. What, is it, what has it proved as a kinyan echad? What does it mean that he has it chose a kinyan? Okay. Let's take the Mishnah, Perek HaMishi, Mishnah Yefes. Okay. Mishnah says like this. Kol HaMezakes HaRab. Anyone that benefits the masses of people of Klal Yisrael, Ein chet bo al yado. So, no chet will he won't suffer the violation of chet. That's what it means. V'chol amachtias a rabbim, anyone that causes the rabbim to sin, it's the opposite. Ein maspikin bi yado lasas tshuva. We don't allow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow the person to do tshuva. Okay. Moshe Zocho V'zikei HaSarabim. Schus HaRabim Toli Bo. Shenema Tzidkas Hashem Osam Mishpatim Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Mezakas HaRabim. So the Schus HaRabim hinges upon him. Okay. Because it says, Tzidkas Hashem Osam Mishpatim Yisrael. Yeravam Chotav Echtias HaRabim, Yeravam Ben Nevat caused the Rabim to sin. So it says, Chet HaRabim Talibah. So the whole Chet of the Rabim is all, in the long run, is all imputed to him. He's the one that is responsible for it. Shenema, Al-Chatas Yeravam Asher Chotav Asher Echtias Yisrael. Okay. That's the mission. Gemara is in Yuma Daf Pezayin Amalaf. The Gemara says, "Kol Mezakes Arabim Ein Chet Bo Yodo V'Kol Machtias Arabim Kimat." A little different gesture. Kimat Ein Maspikin B'Yodo Lasas Tshuva. Over in Yuma has it adds a Kimat. Kimat Ein Maspikin B'Yodo Lasas Tshuva. All right. What does that mean? I don't know exactly. Kol Mezakes Arabim Ein Chet Bo Yodo. My timer. What's the reason? Kidei shelo yehei hu begehenem the Talmid of Began Eden. All right. So there's a simple reason. Because if he's mezakeh to Rabim, so the Rabim's going to be where? He's going to be in Gan Eden. And he, because of the chet, will wind up in Gehenem. He won't be able to have anything to do with his Talmidim. Okay. Shenema ki lo sazov nafshi l'shol lo sitein chasid cho l'ros yocha. Alright. Why is it if a person is machdis rabbin, they don't permit him to do tshuva? Shelo Yehehu began Eden, the Talmidov began him. Okay? So, same idea in reverse. That what? That God doesn't want that he's Machdis Rabbim, so the Rabbim's going to be in Gehenim, so he shouldn't be in Gan Eden. He doesn't deserve to be in Gan Eden. He should be together with his Talmidim in Gehenim. Machdis Rabbim. All right. The Mishnah again. All right. First part, I mean, first we have to understand what's meaning. That's why I'm speaking biyado. I'm speaking the lasas tshuva. I'm speaking the lasas tshuva. So what does mean I'm speaking the lasas tshuva? So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, v'chol mi sheyasher b'nei adam yidmelu Hashem yisbarach k'sheyimnoeyu min achet, that God will repay him by preventing him from doing any averus. Right? V'chol mi sheyate b'nei adam ya'ansheyu Hashem yisborach k'shem yimno'eyu min ha'tshuva. So God will give him an onesh by preventing him from doing tshuva. V'zem avur ein kushibo k'shetovin ma shekolal nuhu b'perek hashmini. Okay. So the Rambam already says, he refers you back to Perek Hashmini, his introduction to Pirkei Avos. Apparently, what he means is he senses there's some difficulty here, but the difficulty is taken care of by his explanation in his introduction. What is the difficulty? What's the difficulty? In one side of the memra, okay. One side of the memra is, the first side of the memra says that what? Kol mazakes harabim, ein chet bal yado. That has a small problem there. What do you mean, ein chet bal yado? He's mazakes harabim, he's a tzaddik. So he's a person that has bechira. So why does he need, there the question, why does he need that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect him from the chet? I mean, he's a person that has bechira. So, ein chet bal yado, kidei shelo yehehu b'gehenem, the Talmid of b'gan Eden. I mean, he's such a tzaddik, he's mezakeh sarabim. So he's mezakeh sarabim, so why does he need to be protected from chet? He could, he has bechira chafshis, why should he wind up in Gehenna? He shouldn't wind up in Gehenna according to if he exercises Bechira properly. So we have to understand what it means when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents him from Chet. Okay? Ein Chet Bal Yada doesn't mean that he's not going to be the cause of Chet. That's not the intention. See, it seems over here it's the Maisa. That's the way it seems. Ein Chet Bal Yada doesn't mean that he isn't the in the shalshelas of chet, that he's not one of the causes. It doesn't mean that. Ein chet bal yado means he is dar chote. Because the Gemara says shelo yehehu begehenim v'tamid v'gehenim. The person is bal yado, he's not going to go to Gehenim. That's what it means. Okay. And what's the other way? The other way means exactly the converse. It means that what? That ein maspikin biyado loshet. Okay, that means if the person is machdis a rabbim, so God prevents him from doing tshuva. That's what it means, just the opposite. Okay? So of course, when you come across a concept like that, there are great difficulties. Spoke about it once before. But the way we gave an explanation for once before for the case of power. But here you can't give that explanation over here. What does it mean when it says that a Kaddish, this is a strange thing, one of the most difficult things to understand, when you say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate Baal Chesed, right, the ultimate Baal Chesed, still a Kaddish Baruch Hu will prevent a person from doing tshuva. That means to say it like this. That means to say that Reuven did a certain avera, and a serious avera, is machdis harabim, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't interfere, so then Reuven would do tshuva. If Reuven would do tshuva, what would happen? He would be a tzaddik gamur. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and stops him from doing tshuva, because of that, he dies as a chote, and he's a yoreish gehenim. It's something which is very difficult for us to comprehend, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should interfere with a person's bechira in a way. This is more difficult than the first question. In a way that is going to result in his utter destruction. Okay? In his utter destruction. That's the question. Okay? So the Rambam deals with this in the Perek HaShmini, in his introduction. Rambam deals with this in the 8th Perek. Okay? Yeah. This is one of the most difficult things to understand. I mean, as you always say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachel Machanon, Erech HaPayim, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yigimu Midas. And here you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns against the person. And completely, not only does he destroy it, but he prevents him, he's Ma'akev, he prevents him from doing tshuva. I mean, it would seem that the one thing that a person can always do is tshuva. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'akva Manat Tshuva. Okay, the Rambam explains it in the Perek HaShmini. He says in the end, he says, "V'zemi nifloi apurushim l'misha meithin dakis anyanim." Okay, so actually, the Rambam says that it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says like this. It says that in the Mari and Avua that Yeshayahu had, this is really Ishnasmos HaMelech Uziyah Veras Hashem Yeshua Kisir Ram V'Nisa V'Shul of Me'leim Etzayecha. That's the beginning of Yeshayahu, that's his first Shlichus. So it says V'Eshmas Kolad Hashem Omer Smi Eshlach Mi Yelech Lano V'Omer Hineni Shlacheni. So Yama Leich V'Mato L'Amazeh, go tell these people Shimu Shamoa V'Al Tavinu Ru Ro V'Al Tedo. You're going to hear things, but you won't understand them. You'll see, and you won't have any knowledge. Hashmein leiv ha'amazev, ha'oznav hachbeid, ve'enav hosha, penyirav ve'enav ve'oznav yishma levava yovin. He says, the heart of this nation is going to be such that they won't be able to understand. They won't be able to hear. They won't be able to gain knowledge. Why? Penyirav ve'enav, maybe the less they see with their eyes, ve'oznav yishma, and they'll hear with their ears, ulevavo yavin, their hearts will understand, vashav, they'll do tshuva, varafala, and it'll be good for them. Okay? So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that the heart of this nation is going to be such, I'm going to make them such that they won't be able to do tshuva. It's possible. Okay. That's one question. Truth of the matter, I mean, this question obviously involves an important principle, a universal principle. But there are other things in tshuva that also have to be understood. And if you don't understand the general principle of tshuva, so it's always going to be that way, that there are many details that are not going to be exactly smooth. Plus, the question might not project as much, might not be as bold as the main question, but there have to be areas that are just not going to fit into this mold. Tshuva on the surface, tshuva seems to be like a logical kind of a thing. What? Doesn't? Okay, what? But tshuva, if a person is a shav, so the concept is that since they're not the same person anymore, so therefore they don't relate to chait in the same way that they did before. Right? So therefore they're deserving of a different fate. Okay? But you see, it's not such a davar pashut. Why? Because the Rambam says that the Rambam says, for instance, in Rambam, the end of Perek Gimel, says that he says Ein davar omeid, ein lecha davar shem lefnei tshuva. Afilu kofar beikar kol yomav, ubachron ashov, yesh lo chelek lolam haba. Shenema, shalom, shalom, arachav, lakar, vama, shem, arachasim. So it's an interesting thing. Even though it's Beseser, I mean, why should it make a difference Beseser or Begoli? And what's the whole Chiddush? Of course, if he's a Shav, I mean, it would seem that if he's a Shav, that should be enough. The moment he's a Shav, so now he's not the same person he was anymore. And therefore, as a matter of fact, that's part of Shuvah, is that the person should realize that he's not the same individual that he was before. So naturally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give him his just reward. So why do you have to have this special psukim to teach you this? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makabal the Shuvah. Another interesting thing, there's a Chazal that says that David HaMelech was mispalel. That he used to be mispalel, that he shouldn't die b'shasi is ome ba'avera before he can do tshuva. Before he can do tshuva. That is mispalel, that was his tefillah. Okay? Why did he have to be mispalel? For that? Why should a person, you'd think, I mean, a person thinks ordinarily that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he gives everybody a fair chance. So therefore, if that's your fair chance, if that's the way you're supposed to be, so it's predestined. Well, it depends on your ma'asim. I don't mean predestined since it's predestination. I mean, it depends on your ma'asim. So that's it. What is tefillah going to help? He's going to mispalel the what? He's going to mispalel that he shouldn't die when he's omed b'cheto, before he has the opportunity to do tshuva. You think that something like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's area. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should work out whether how long a person's going to live, or when he's going to be nifta. So, what kind of place is there for tefillah like that? Okay? Yeah. It's a classic tilim chavov tes. Al keso from chatoyim nafshi. That my soul shouldn't go down b'shah at the time that it's with chatoyim. Okay? That it's in a state of faith. That's the Rambam has. The Rambam has a bov esrim dvarim ma'akvin es hashuva. An interesting thing. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Amonishah, if he's supposed to die at that time, so that's when he's supposed to die. What is he being mispalel that he shouldn't? It sounds funny that a person is mispalel in order to be able to exercise his bechira. It seems that should be the God-given system of bechira. That should be worked out. He doesn't have mispalel for that. The person is mispalel, I should have bechira. I should have the ability to have bechira. What kind of a tefillah is that? The person is mispalel that I should have the ability to have bechira. That's my whole mahus, is that I have bechira. That's the whole purpose of this life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a chance to exercise his bechira in this life. How long that goes on, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. I have to mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow me to exercise my bechira. Doesn't make sense. Not a little das. Why should I mispalel for that? That's the situation that God places me. That's God's business to determine what the extent of my life is, and what abilities I'm going to, what situations I'm going to exercise, I'm going to have to be able to confront and exercise my bechira. Okay. Oh, at any rate. Now it's an interesting thing. The Rambam has above in paragraph three, above esrim dvarim ma'akvin es hashuva. 24 things are ma'akev hashuva. Okay, so first group is above mehen avon gadol va'os racham mehen ina kadosh baruch hu maspik biyado lasas shuva lefi godel cheta. So again, this is from this Mishnah that kadosh baruch hu does not allow the person to do tshuva. Ve'elohim, machti asarabim. Okay? And similar things. A person that's mates chavera miderech tova l'derech roh, a person that sees his son is not doing properly, he doesn't reprimand him. Okay? And also echtav oshuv. Okay. So that's machvinus tshuva. That's the first one. He must be yedlosh. The other groups are different. The other group says, Hamisha Dvarim Hanoalim Darkei Atshuva Lefnei Osayim. Ve'elohen HaParsh Min HaTzibur. So the Rambam explains, why? L'chishe B'zman, Sheyasu Tshuva Lo Yiyei Moem. Ve'enezelchei Moem. So that makes sense. HaCholak Adivar Chachomim. Why? L'chishe Machluk Koso. V'scholak Anach Chachomim. Machluk Koso Goremes Lo Lifrosh Mehem. It causes him to turn away from the Chachomim. Ve'enei Adei Adarkei Tshuva. logical. Makes sense. You want to fight. The person wants to fight, you shouldn't pick a fight with a chacham. Chacham is bad because he's going to lose out because he turns away from them mentally and he doesn't associate with them, so he can't learn the Darkei Tshuva, so he's not going to be able to do tshuva. Simple. All these things are rational things. Okay? Then you have certain things a person can't do tshuva. Impossible to do tshuva. Because why? Because in order to do tshuva, he has to go and ask mechila by his friend. And he can't determine who his friend is. Again, it's a rational thing. Then he says, certain things ain't ches koso rosh man. If a person does these things, he's not going to do tshuva. Why? Because he imagines that these things aren't averis. And they are serious averis. But in his mind, he didn't do anything. Ha'ocha masuva shem aspekes labayla. A person comes to somebody else's house, and he realized the other individual didn't have enough to eat, but he's hungry, so he shares his food. That's terrible of error. But he doesn't feel like he did anything bad. The other fellow says, no, come in, sit down, eat. Contrary, he feels very good. It means to say, what the Ram means by that group is, that there's a group of averis that are not affected by conscience to the degree that they should be. Certain averis awakens a person's guilt, the sense of guilt. So the sense of guilt is something which is like a it's something which triggers in himself a realization of the fact that that's an avera. Okay, the person has a built-in sense of guilt that is that tells him when he's doing many times tells him, but certain he's doing avera. But certain averas, the sense of guilt is not there. Very little sense of guilt. Mestako barayas. Different averas that a person feels, there's no sense of guilt attached to. He feels he didn't do anything. Okay, so that's also, we understand. A psychological phenomenon. Makes sense. And then, the last thing is, all these things. Skabe b'klon chavero. He says, a person compares himself to somebody else. He shows that he's superior to that person. The other person's not there. He indicates he's superior. He doesn't feel like he did anything. There's no conscience. There's no alarm. No alarm goes off. Okay. Then he has the last group is certain things that a person by nature, he may feel guilty about them, but by nature, it's once a person gets involved in them, it's hard to withdraw from them. That's a different kind of situation. Okay. So Rechilus, Lashon Hara, and the Chacham has to be able to analyze what his state is. He shouldn't just go by his feelings. Just because a person has a sense of guilt doesn't mean that the sense of guilt is a rational thing. Sometimes it doesn't work. Okay? So anyways, sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes when it does work it's not correct. So a person has to be by a Chacham and know what he and understand his da. So the Ram explains all these different things, different problems with Shiva. But he says the first one that he has, the first case is, the only case where actually it's something external, outside of the self, not natural, that prevents him from doing tshuva. And that is Ein Maspikin B'Yadei Lasha, that God actually prevents him from doing tshuva. The only case is the case that we're doing our Mishnah. That's interesting. The Rambam in the end of the fourth paragraph says, Kol Eila Advarim Ketzman Af Pishem Akvinas HaTshuva, Ain Molin also. Elim also them tshuva mehen hareza bal tshuva v'yesh lechach l'hom abo. Amazing thing. The Rambam in the end says all these different things, even though they're ma'akev as a tshuva, and I assume if our gears is correct, it means all the things, including the first group. And that's what it seems to me. Kol el advam v'kiyetz ben af pishem ma'akven as a tshuva, and he said in the beginning, abo v'esrim dvam ma'akven as a tshuva, means it must include the first group too. What's the first group? Chote ma'akdes ha'ravim. So there he says, even though it's ma'ain molin also, it doesn't prevent it. It doesn't prevent the tshuva. What does it mean? It's ma'akvin as a tshuva, but it's not monay as a tshuva. What exactly does that mean? What does that mean? It's ma'ak. I mean, I understand the other things that a ma'akvin as a tshuva, a monay as a tshuva. It makes sense. Person doesn't have a sense of guilt. Okay? So So it's machvenus shuva. It's difficult, but not moneas shuva. He could sit down and think about it. He could do shuva. All right? A person is involved in something that's hard to pull away from. It's machvenus shuva, but it's not moneas shuva. But machvenus shuva means it's something that stands in the way of doing shuva. It's something which is it not prevents. It's an obstacle. It blocks it. It blocks the tshuva. It's an obstacle. It's an obstruction. It's an obstruction. That's right. It obstructs tshuva. But you can get through an obstruction. Okay? So all these things he mentioned before are natural things, which are difficult for various reasons. It's difficult to do tshuva. But the first case it says openly, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maspik B'yodo L'Aseh Tshuva. That's the wrong word. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself prevents the person from doing tshuva. And yet the Rambam says in the end, "Afal pishe makvenas tshuva ein monin aso." What does that mean? What does that mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the last thing he says after the Rambam gives all these categories, he says all these things and similar and all those things that are similar to them, even though they obstruct the tshuva, they don't prevent tshuva. But if a person in fact did tshuva, he's considered a Baal tshuva, and he has a chelek in Olam Haba. That's what I'm saying. Now it makes sense for all these other things, but not for the first one. It says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maspik B'yado L'Aseh Tshuva." So what does that mean? He just creates an obstruction, but he can get over the obstruction. It just sounds very funny to me. I mean, it's only up to a certain point to block him, but it's not impossible. I mean, what does that mean? What does it mean? Another thing is, by the way, the Rambam seems to openly go against what he said in the Pirshim Mishnayis. Because in the Pirshim Mishnayis, when he explains this mission in Pirshim Mishnayis, he doesn't say that Ein Monin Es HaTshuva. On the contrary, he says like this, V'hamate b'nei Adam on shel me'es Hashem sheyimna mimenu HaTshuva. That'll prevent the tshuva. And this is clear, he says, and there's no difficulty if you understand what I said in the Perek HaShmini. And the Perek HaShmini explains how God, from the Pasuk Yeshayo, that God actually steps in and prevents the person from doing tshuva. He's ma'akev as a tshuva. It's a contradiction to what he says in the Yadach HaZaka. It's an interesting thing. Contradiction, he says in the Yadach HaZaka. Over he says, it's an interesting in Shalmi. Shalmi says like this. Shalmi says that sure, it's Perichini and Marcus. It's in towards the end of Loch of Vav. It's on Dafem and Alf in our print. Okay? It says like this. Shalu l'chachma. They asked Chachma, Chote mahu ansha. What is the onus of a person that is a chote? Amr lahem. So Chachma said to them, Chatoyim tirdof ra. That people who are involved in chait run after evil. Okay. Shalu l'nevuah. They asked nevuah, prophecy. Chote ma'oncho. What is the punishment for a person who is a sinner? Chote. Amar lahen. Hanefesh ha'chotas hi tamas. Soul that sins, she should die. Shalu l'kutcha brichu. They ask God, Chote ma'o onsho. What is the onsho of Chote? Amo lahen, Yase tshuva v'yiskaper lo. Do tshuva and it'll be miskaper. Be forgiven. Haynu d'chsiv. Al kein yore chatoyim baderech. Yore, God is more. God teaches the chatoyim derech lasos tshuva. Okay? That's the Gemara. Okay. So what does that mean? I mean, it's a funny kind of thing. You see one thing. You see from the Gemara, from the Yerushalmi, that tshuva is not just a simple matter to understand. In other words, in terms of the fact, just to understand, well, look, the person's not the same person anymore. He did tshuva. And that's it. No. There seems to be something more involved than that. Because it says that Chochmah said, really, that there's no way out. And even Nevuah said that nefesh achatas he tomos. Only Kutcher Brichu said yasachuva. Okay? Well, it's an interesting thing, because it would seem that when you're saying nevuah, so, yeah, it seems that that's the same thing as nevuah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevuah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, I think the answer is based on one thing. That there's two things with regard to tshuva. Tshuva actually involves two different areas. This tshuva in terms of a psychological and philosophical phenomena. There is such a thing. In other words, a person does tshuva, so he removes himself from chet. So since he removes himself from chet, so he's not the same individual anymore, and anything that normally would have happened in the past doesn't happen anymore, because he's a different person, different cause, different effects. That's a simple, straightforward phenomenon. That a person that's a shav is a shove in the framework of psychological and philosophical reality. But it seems in Yadus, there's something more than that. There's tshuva not only as a psychological and philosophical phenomena, but as a metaphysical phenomena. What does it mean? It means like this. Question is, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be moneya a person from tshuva? And the Rambam in the Perek HaShmini tries to explain this. The only thing is, when you look through it, he tries to explain it. Somehow or other, you don't feel satisfied after he gives his explanation. His explanation is, he says that there's no difficulty. Why? Because God has the right. He says the crux of his answer is right here. I'll show you the crux of his answer. His answer is like this. He says, He says, it's in the Hagdama. The Shmona Prachim L'Rama, Hagdama. Okay? He says, the essence of his answer is in this part. It's like this. He says, he talks about Paro, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish Paro and the Mitzrim because of their rishis. And as it said, the Gamas Agoya Sheva Donanochi says, V'i Efshel HaNisham in Yeshuva. It's impossible for God to bring an onus on Paro and the Mitzrim if they do tshuva. Okay? L'fika Chmona Nehmes HaTshuva. Therefore, it prevented them from doing tshuva. He says, he ain't bekach zaras. Isn't that a strange thing? And no markiyesh me Hashem manish esodim bekach shelo yoshev lo yashir lo habechira b'tshuva. Isn't that a strange thing to say that God punishes a person by removing the ability to do tshuva? Why? Because God knows the sins of a person and had to evaluate them. He says, sometimes God punishes a person in this world, sometimes he punishes them so far as the next world is concerned, sometimes he punishes them so far as both worlds are concerned. And he says, and even in this world, the Onish is a different Onshim. He says, sometimes it's Begufo, sometimes Bamamono, sometimes it's both. Like, for instance, he says, if he prevents a man from using his hand, like by Yeravim ben Nevat, the person has a hand becomes paralyzed. Or he prevents a person from seeing, like by Anshei Sdom. So he says, that's the same way that God takes away the Ratzon HaTshuva. Until he reaches the point that he will not want to do tshuva anymore. Yeah, but there's one difference. There's one big difference. The difference is that in all the other cases, I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manish a person because it's for his benefit. In order that he should be manzer b'tshuva. That's the purpose of the onesh. But and this is the one onesh that you can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the onesh in order that he should be chazer b'tshuva. Because that's it? Death sentence. Okay? That's what's hard to understand about the Rambam. He says it's so simple to understand, but you walk away, you don't know what he means. Okay? Yeah. He says, this is all God's Chachmah, he says, and we can't know. We aren't even supposed to get involved in this kind of Chachmah insofar as God is concerned. But why did he give this onish and not that onish? He says, just like we don't know in a creation why God gave created a certain form or shape, say why this shape, why wasn't the universe have a different description? The galaxy should be less far apart than that. I mean, so these type of questions. I mean, we don't know why these type of things. You can't answer these type of things. Why do you have to create matter in these just a certain amount of elements, not more? Why couldn't there be 400 elements? These are crazy questions. That's the way God and his Chachmah created the universe. He can't ask questions like that. Okay, that's what he said. See, the answer to this question is based on the fact that we don't understand one metaphysical premise. What's the metaphysical premise? The metaphysical premise is in the beginning of Yesodei HaTorah. Okay. The Yesodei HaTorah is like this. Yesodei Yesodei Svaomar HaChachmas Leida Sheyesham Motzi Rishon V'hu Mamtzi Kol Nimtza V'chol HaNimtzoyim Mishamayim V'oretz U'mashe Beinehem Lo Nimtzu Ela Me'amitas Himotz'o. Okay. So Ram says, that God is the first existence. By the first, of course, it doesn't mean the first second. It means he always existed. Okay? And it doesn't mean always existed because you can't apply always. Always is a time. It means, in short, he is existence. That's it. And v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. And he is the source of everything else. He's the source. He created all the existences. Okay? Could have stopped there. But now he says no. V'chol ha'nimtzoyim mishamayim v'oretz u'mashe b'neihem lo nimtzu ela me'amitas himotzo. Which means to say that everything that exists only exists because he exists. And he explains. V'myala l'adas shehu ein ha'motzoi. If a person would imagine that God wouldn't exist, Ein dover acher yochel imatzos. Nothing else can exist. Means to say that our existence is of a different kind. It's a contingent existence. A different kind of existence. God's existence is essential existence. He essentially exists. And our existence is a contingent existence. We exist because his will is that we should exist. Okay? Right. Conversely, it's not true. V'myal ha'ladas she'en kol ha'nimtzoyim ha'levado mitzuyim hu'levado yimotzo. If other things would cease to exist, it wouldn't affect his existence. Because his existence is essential. So if the whole universe was destroyed, it doesn't affect his existence. Okay. Means to say that a human being, the way the description of his life, both in Chayei Olam Hazeh, and both in Chayei Olam Haba, this description of life that he has is ultimately based on God's will. God created man a certain way, and he gave him a certain existence. He has a certain physical existence, and he has a certain existence, metaphysical existence. Okay, it means his soul. And the way in the description of this, of his existence, is totally based upon Chachmas HaKel, just like everything else that exists. In this area, a person can't ask any kasha. Why did God see fit to make man like this, not like that? These are nonsensical questions. Because, in order to answer that question, you'd have to know, the only way to answer that question is like Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, or Enos Kodecha. It's to know God's essence, then all the questions are gone. But man can't have such a knowledge you can't have. So, such a knowledge of God. So it's impossible to know why. But, nevertheless, the fact is that his existence is totally contingent upon that particular description that God laid out for him. Okay. Now you understand a little bit what it means, what the Yerushalmi means. See what the Yerushalmi means. It means like this. They asked Nevuah. what is the Chachma? We'll go back with. They asked Nevuah. They said, what should be the fate of a person that sins? So what did Nevuah say? Nevuah said, Hanefesh Hachotah Sitamos. See, what does Nevuah mean over here? Nevuah doesn't mean a specific Nevuah that they received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevuah here means the ultimate knowledge, beyond philosophical knowledge. There's only one realm of knowledge, of ultimate knowledge that we have, where philosophical knowledge fails, because philosophical knowledge always works through a process of investigation. It's like a scientist. He always has to investigate. He has to line up his facts, and then he has to find the underlying universal. So he has to grapple around. But Nevuah is a direct contact with the ideas themselves without going through the process of analysis. It's a direct contact. Okay, it's like a person could see the table, or a person is blind and he could prove the table. The scientist is like the person that can't see the table. He has to prove the table, so he has to use scientific methods. But the Navi can see the table. He could see the idea right directly through the Mara Nevuah. That's the ultimate knowledge. So they asked ultimate knowledge, what should happen to the soul that is Chote? So Nevuah answered, Nefesh HaChatah Sitamos. What does it mean, Nefesh HaChatah Sitamos? It means that the moment a person is a Chote, the moment the person deviates, seriously deviates from the plan of his existence, so he doesn't have any more existence. You see? It doesn't mean to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will come down and destroy him. It's a mistake. That's a mistake. We use that lashon. We always used to use that lashon. We say, but it doesn't mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu actually destroys the person. It means his existence intrinsically is a contingent existence. It's dependent upon God's will. So therefore, the moment the Chote deviates from the path, so what happens? His existence wasn't given to him for that purpose. So now, logically, he ceases to exist. He ceases to exist. If he ceases to exist, so he ceases to exist, and that's the metaphysical. See, Chachma is not a metaphysical. When it says Shol HaChachma, it doesn't mean metaphysical. That means psychological and philosophical. So they ask Chachma, what should be the fate of a person that sins? So Chachma answered, a person that is steeped in sin will always be a sinner. That's it. Will always be a sinner, never get out of it. Okay. But they asked Nevuah, and Nevuah means metaphysically, what is this? What is the fate? So Nevuah answered, metaphysically, from logically, the person should cease to exist. And that's it. If the person ceases to exist, you understand very well, they can't do tshuva. They can't do tshuva. Because it means their existence is gone. I mean, there's no person anymore. Then it says, Shalu Lekutcha Berichu. They ask God, what is the fate of a person that sins? So what did God say? God said, you should do tshuva, Vani Meschapa. What does it mean? It means to say that God said to Nevuah, Nevuah is the ultimate realization that man can have of knowledge of what should happen to a person that sins. He deviated from the description which his life had. God gave him God's will dictated. He deviated from that description. So Nevuah says, that's it. Once he deviates from the description, he's dead. He ceases to exist. But God said, no. He should do tshuva. It means to say that we can't understand this. It really doesn't make any sense from a logical standpoint. But we don't know God, so therefore we have to ask God what the fact is. At a certain point you can go with Chachma. Beyond that point we have to know what the facts are. Okay? So what is the fact? The fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, which doesn't make any sense to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not cease, does not cause a cessation in the life of the Chote, for some unknown reason, even though he's living in a way where his existence is absolutely worthless. Worthless. Rationally, we say he ceases to exist. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits him, gives him, causes him to have existence. Why? For one reason. He causes him to have existence in order that he should be a shav. In order that he should be true. Okay? In order that he should be true. That means that's his will is that the person, even though Nevuah, in terms of the ultimate Chachma, shouldn't exist, but God gives him existence. Okay? God gives him existence. That is a fact of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we just don't understand it, but that's the way it is. Okay? That's what it means when it says the famous Gemara, Hashem Hashem, Kel Rachum Lachan. So what does the Gemara say? It's a Gemara in Roshani Zion, the Gemara says. That Hashem Hashem, that one Hashem is Kodem Achet, and the second Hashem is La'achar Shechata V'yashem. What does it mean, this first Hashem, the second Hashem? What does this mean? I mean, what does it mean? And what does it mean? What is one Hashem, Kodem Achet, La'achar Achet? What do you have to have two Shemos, two separate Shemos for that? The answer is, what is a Shem? What is Shem Hashem? Shem Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, Shem Havaya. I mean, Shem Havaya means the Shem that reflects the source of existence. That's the Shem Havaya. That's the Shem. That's the Shem on the forehead. The one you can't pronounce. It means this Shem reflects God. Means it's a closer idea. Agni means my master, but this is a closer idea because we're talking about God's existence. So it means God, insofar as he gives existence to his creatures. So there's two different types of existence. The first existence he gives to the person is an initial existence. And that really should stop the moment the person is a chote. But then a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes along and gives another existence. That's la'achta, la'acha she'yechta. La'acha she'yechta. Why? She'yashu. And means she'yashu means that there wouldn't be any reason if he'd never be true. But because he could be a shav, so it gives him another kind of existence. It gives him another existence. That's Ad Hashem, Ad Hashem. Okay? The Rambam also, says the exact same thing that he says in the Pirush Mishnah. It's always the exact same thing. And in the Yad HaChazak in Perek Shishi, it talks about Paro and Sichon, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't hik shesham lekech ashucho v'imetzes levovo v'chein haknanim l'fi tov oseyim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took away the tshuva from them. Kol manata mehen tshuva. Okay. So the Rambam says like this. It means it doesn't mean that he took away their bechira, because originally they had bechira, but only after they chose improperly then he took away the koch bechira. So now we understand the answer. Okay. What is the Ram's answer? Ram's answer was that God takes away the koch bechira. But the question is, we understand God giving an onesh to take away Rahman Aslan, a person's physical abilities. Okay? But that's all for a person in order to do tshuva. But what is the purpose of a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving an onesh that he's moneiachin the person from tshuva itself? So what's the answer? The answer is, the question is based on a false assumption. The question is based on an assumption that you have intrinsic existence, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you in order to make you do tshuva if you go off the track. But existence you intrinsically have. No, that's a mistake. The only reason that the person has existence is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's determination that he should have existence. But the moment a person's life reaches a level where existence ceases, then he doesn't have any more. There's nothing more that he has, you see. So what the Rambam means is like this. The Rambam means that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away from a person the koach ha-bechira, it means, what does it mean? It means, it doesn't mean he steps in and takes away the koach ha-bechira. It means that the person has reached a point where is it exactly. In other words, that's what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi asks that nevuah, the Yesholul nevuah, nefechote machote chote is a maloncho. Why? Because it's logical that since a person's life was created, existence created for a certain description, if he completely deviates from that description, he shouldn't exist anymore. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I give him existence, renewed existence. I give him renewed existence in order that he should be able to do tshuva. That's the only purpose of the renewed existence. Okay? But sometimes the person, Rishei Olam, that's what the Rambam says in the Yad, the Rambam says he had a restriction to exclusively to certain ultimately evil people. That these people are so evil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes their Bechira. What does it mean? It means, like he says in the Pirush Mishnayos, it's no different than if God would paralyze his hand. What does it mean when if a God would paralyze his hand? It doesn't mean, by the way, and that's what the Rambam says in the Maor Nevuchim, it doesn't mean that God creates an evil by paralysis of his arm. It means that the movement of the arm moves only because God gives it existence. He gives the nervous system a certain type of, it works in a certain type of way. But the moment the cause for that existence is removed, so then it ceases to function. Evil, things that people call evil are not a positive thing. It's the absence of a good. It means it's the absence of God's giving the thing existence. Okay? It's not a positive kind of thing. The same thing is true with regard to a person's bechira. A person's bechira is his very essence. The Ramban says, Nechomesh. So what's Salam Alekin? Salam Alekin. The Ram says Salam Alekin. He only mentions the das, knowledge. Ramban says, Koach HaBchir is part of it also. Koach HaBchir is part of it also. That's part of Talmud Lakin. And the Psukim is, Hein Hodom Ahoya Ke'acha Mimelo, Das Tov Ra. It means that he has the Bechira. Okay? So the Bechira is part of the person's nature. If God, when God punishes him to remove his Bechira, it's not the pshat that he exists and God is taking away his Bechira. It means simply there's no more reason to sustain him in terms of the description of his Tzelem Elokim. He's reached a point where there's no more reason to sustain him. Of course, we would have said that, Nevuah would have said that right away by everybody. But no, it says, Shol Elokut Shebarichu, God said, no, that's not true, you're making a mistake. It sounds rational to you, but that's not the way I work. I renew his existence. But not everyone does God renew his existence. There are certain exceptions and means where the human in personality, the individual, the essence of a man can deteriorate to the point where there simply he ceases to exist and there's no cause anymore. God does not renew his existence, doesn't supply him with existence. The moment he doesn't supply him with existence, the essential part of his nature, which is his koach ha-bechira, simply ceases to function. That's all. Ceases to function. That's what the Rambam means. Okay, that's the difference. He ceased to exist. That's what the Rambam explains. Cease to exist could be in many forms. It could be as far as his physical existence. It could be as far as his spiritual existence. You know, the whole concept is the Russia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the Russia to have a physical existence. Cremates him anyway. But in terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is parelo ba'olam hazeh kidei l'todem in olam haba. It means to say that insofar as a physical existence, God supports him. He has certain physical existence. But insofar as his existence as a human being, as a Tzelem Elokim, he ceases to exist. So that's what the Rambam means. It doesn't mean that God jumps in, so to speak, and stops him from doing it. All it means is that he has, you see, a man doesn't exist by nature. That's why I told the Rambam in the first Rambam. His existence is only because he is supported by God. God's will supports him, gives him existence. And he's sustained by God's will. Now, the moment the person reaches a state in which he is totally evil, totally corrupt, there's no more reason to support his existence, his nefesh. What is the nefesh of man? The nefesh of man is his chachma and his koach ha-bechira. So it means there's nothing to support that ability, that koach ha-bechira, which is part of the Tzelem Elokim. Nothing to support anymore. It ceases to function. God doesn't do what he says when they shalom l'chachma and shalom nevuah and shalom l'kutcha b'richo. Over there, God answered, no, I renew his existence. Why? No one can know why. But that's the way, God says that's the way he operates. But over here, he doesn't operate that way. Over here, he operates the way nevuah said. In other words, that this is it. He's reached the ultimate level, and he has no right to exist. His existence simply ceases. So his koach ha-bechira, which is an essential part of the existence. Now he exists only in the nefesh ha-bahami. He only exists, only the Nefesh HaBahami continues to exist. The Nefesh HaRuchani does not get the She'ifa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not supported from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it ceases to function. That's what I mean. Plus, it's an important point. As a Paro, as a Sichon, there are certain Rishoyim that reach that level where their existence in terms of a soul ceases. The only, yes, it doesn't mean the person does a chet. It means he's really steeped in chet. Because a person is a, it means to say that he's, there's no purpose in his existence anymore. That's what I mean. The pasuk, right? Now, okay, you understand now, it's the same kind of, a person now, you understand that if you'd ask the question why this happens, you might as well ask why a person will live 70 years. I mean, it's the same kind of question. That's the intrinsic description of life. Okay? That's what Ram means. You can't ask this kind of a question anymore. Once you understand the idea that it means that he's not sustained anymore, so what's the question? There's no more question. It's question why? So why does a person die at 70? Why doesn't he die at 400? It's the same kind of question. Okay. Now, it's interesting when it says Sha'alu l'chachma. So what did Chachma say? Chachma said that Chatoyim, what was Chatoyim? Chatoyim Tirdov. Chatoyim, what? Chatoyim Tirdov Ra. You see, it's interesting. After it says they ask Kitcher Brichu, so then it says that Kodesh Baruch says Yasachu Yischapala. Hainu Dechsiv, Al Kain Yorah Chatoyim Baderach. Yorah Lachatoyim Derech Lasas Tshuva. Why does it have to say that for? Doesn't have to say that. All that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains him after he did an Avera, and that's it. What do you have to say? Akein Yorach HaToyim V'Aderach? Well, what is it? The answer is, because there's something more here. You see, Chachma said, HaToyim Tirdof Ra. It means a person that's steeped in Avera can't, not just that his tshuva won't be accepted. He can't even do tshuva. It's basically most of the time impossible to do tshuva. That's what Chachma said. Chachma said a person whose soul desires evil is always going to continue to desire evil. And the chances of never getting out are almost impossible. Impossible.
Because there's a riot to everything that you said from the previous Mishnah.
Okay.
The previous Mishnah would say.
That's right. Now the thing is that insofar, so it says Chatoyin, so it means that Chachma really, see when they asked Chachma, Chachma wasn't concerned with the metaphysical. Chachma was concerned with the psychological, philosophical phenomenon of doing tshuva. So what did Chachma say? Chachma said, let's take a look at this person. His soul desires evil? That's it. Well, how's he going to get out of this? Impossible to get out. Okay? So then they asked Nevuah, metaphysically, what should his status be in terms of existence? Nevuah said, forget it. He can't exist anymore. Then God answered, he can exist. I say that he exists. I renew his existence. But also it says, Al-Kin Yorach HaToyim Baderach. What does it mean? It means not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu renew his existence, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates certain circumstances for the individual so that he should be able to be a Shav. Okay? That's the Chesed Hashem is unfathomable. It means not only does he renew his existence, but he even creates situations for him in order to overcome the problem of Chatoyim Tirdof Ra. Okay? Alright? Because Chachma was right, and you're right, right. Renewing his existence is one thing, but renewing the existence, what happened? Fine, renewing his existence, there should be a rush the rest of his life. That's completely impossible. So therefore, that's why it says Al Kain Yorach HaToyim Baderach, that God's Hashgacha extends to the Rasha, even to show him to have certain circumstances take place. That's what the Gemara says by Yaakov Vinu Chuli came along, the time of Yaakov. Why? Because a person gets sick. He goes into bed, he gets better, he gets sick, he gets better. The process of illness is one that God has a purpose here. That is one of the circumstances that causes a person to be a shav. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans certain type of experiences for the individual, for the Rasha. Okay? I can't answer that. Now it's interesting. So that's what it means when it says Dovid HaMelech was mispalel. What was he misspelled? What was the pasuk? The pasuk says, it's Tom Chavah, Al Tesof in Chatoyim Nafshi. Okay? Tesof in Chatoyim Nafshi. What does it mean? It means to say that I shouldn't go down without the ability to do tshuva. What does it mean? He was misspelled that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should renew his existence. That's what he was misspelled for. For that, tefillah helps. Why? Because tefillah relates a person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And be through tefillah, through a person relating to God, he can ask of God renewed existence. So it makes perfect sense that he should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow me that I shouldn't die b'shasa v'zachote, but renew my existence so that I should be able to exercise my bechira. That's what he was asking God for existence, basically. Okay? You see, it's an interesting thing. You see that tefillah could give a person existence, even where he doesn't deserve it. That's what I mean. Like Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah Mecholiah. Right. That's Chizkiyah. That's Chizkiyah. That tefillah can give a person that existence. I think. It means tefillah, even without tshuva. Even without tshuva. Because over here, he's asking for the ability to do tshuva. Right? Now, it's like this. It doesn't... I think of Michael Stachel's question is, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that David HaMelech thought he's going to be a Russia Aram to read like a level of power, does it? It means that in a person's life, there are certain experiences that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. That's part of his existence. Okay? And it means that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean when it says, see, now the question is like this. The first part of the Mishnah, is, Ein chet bal yado. What does it mean, ein chet bal yado? It means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every person's bechira works in a certain realm, is effective in a certain realm. And chet is two things. Chet is a symptom, first of all. If a person steals, it's a symptom. He's a crook. Okay, it shows his nature. But chet is something else. Chet also has an effect on the person. It destroys the individual's personality, his essence, his neshama, destruction of his soul. So, not everybody's, the realm of a person's bechira could be a limited realm. And the Gemara says that even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva, the Sutton made himself appear like an Isha, and they were running after him. So it means to say that there's a realm of bechira that a person has, that outside that realm he can't function. So if something happens to him which his Bechira can't handle, so then he's going to fall. If he falls, if he fails, so then the Chet will totally destroy him. So what it means is, when it says that Ein Mas, when it says Ein Chet Bal Yado, the first part, Ein Chet Bal Yado means what? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one that determines the person's existence and sets before him the various kind of situations, it means that he's zocha to a special hashgacha that prevents him from the effects of the ravages of chet, the destructive force of chet. He's, you understand? It's a special hashgacha. It means every person, the hashgacha actually is in order for a person to exercise his bechira. So, but the Bechir works within a certain realm. So it means that he's removed to a greater degree than anybody else from the effects of Chet. That's what it means. Shelo yehehu b'gehenim b'talmid of b'gan Eden. It means, insofar as his existence is concerned, he has a different right of existence. You understand what I mean? It means like this. That every individual has, in turn, the closer he is to God, the greater his right of existence is. The Rav one time said, he says, what is it? Every one of the Ikkurim isn't just a philosophical Ikkur. It has a practical relevance too. He says, so what's the relevance of the first Ikkur? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is existence. So he said, the relevance is that what a person should strive for is existence. That's what a person strives for, existence. So, insofar as a person reaches a higher level, what happens? His existence is increased. Okay? His existence is increased. When his existence is increased, it means the Hashgacha, insofar as his soul is concerned, is increased in a way that his existence is more secured. So therefore, any kinds of events that would challenge his Bechira, that would be detrimental, he's removed from. That's why I say, Lakai, Achman Satan, Eni Chadai, Yivat Mavenecha Shalo Echta'od. Oma Shechatos Mechok Brach Machar. What is Shalo Echta'od? Shalo Echta'od is Bechira. The answer is that it means he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, through tefillah, it means that his existence should be on a higher level, so that he should be prevented, protected from the chatayim. He shouldn't encounter situations where his bechira can't handle it. You see, which his bechira can't handle. That means it's the same thing as saying that God is securing his existence. That's the same kind of a thing. But how is he zochet to that? I think every person has a certain amount. He's zochet to existence. But through tefillah, a person can raise the level of his chus of existence, and that's why he's mispal level. Yes. That's what it means. Now, Shalo Yehi doesn't mean Gan Eden Gehenna. Gehenna means he lost out on existence. Gan Eden is where he exists. So it means that his Talmidim shouldn't be in Gan Eden, and he's going to lose out on existence. That's not right. So it means, what it means to say, a person who's Mezakeh the Rabbin has a different schus in terms of the existence of the soul. And because of that, his existence is secured to a different degree than other people in terms of what kind of situations he's going to encounter in life that might destroy, that are dangerous to his bechira. That's what it means. And okay, now we come to the other side of the coin. Ein maspikin biyodo lasos tshuva. Okay, the Rambam in Pirushim Mishnayos learns it means that it was moneya him from tshuva. It means to say that he ceased to exist. But if you saw the Gemara, there was the Gemara in Yuma had a different gersa. The Gemara says, Kemat, Eima speaking via the Lashon. What does Kemat mean? Kemat means that over here also it works, just like the other side. Which means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, or the Yerushalmi says, that Chochma said that Chatoyim to the Vra. Okay? So it means the chotes is intrinsically tied to rock. Okay. Now, but God said what? Al kein yorach hatoyim baderech. It means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates situations in which a person can exercise his bechir to do tshuva. He creates. That's a part of his giving man existence. His giving man existence means he gives man the ability to do bechira, to exercise the bechira. Right. So now it means like this. So it means that, what does it mean? What does Rambam mean? Ma'akfenas hatshuva? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ceases to do that. That's what it means. Ein maspikin biyado lashuv. It doesn't mean monim osam lashuv. But maspikin biyado, that's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always a maspik, because akein yorach hatayim baderach, the Yishami says. So ein maspikin biyado. No more situations will be given to this person that will cause him to do tshuva. Why? He doesn't deserve it. His existence is such that he's not entitled to that kind of a situation. But nevertheless, the Rambam says, if he does do tshuva, can happen, it's not impossible. If he does do tshuva, he's zochel chayel mabah. The only thing is that he's lost his rights of existence in terms of events occurring to him that will change his life. He lost that right. That's the machlokes. This will come out to be the machlokes between the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos and the Rambam and the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam and the Yad HaChazaka doesn't take it so severely as he does in the Pirush Mishnayos. Says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moneya osam hatshuva, like I explained, he says in the 8th parak, which means that he simply ceases to exist. That's it. Over here he says no, he doesn't cease to exist. It's just the second Hashem is somehow compromised. It means that his existence now, he doesn't have a right to existence of Al Kein Yorach HaTayim Baderech. But it's possible, and then it's still not impossible. As that was the Machdas the Gemara Taisis brings down in Chagiga, that when Rabbi Meir, Elisha Ben Avuya was sick, but that's the concept, the general idea that you have in of Kabbalah Satshuva as well. The Gemara says that David HaMelech said that he was mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mekabel his tshuva. He says, God, if you mekabel my tshuva, then I know that Shlomo HaMelech will build the base on Mikdash, and I'll be makav karbonos, and it'll be able to accomplish the goal of bringing a Mikdash. What does it mean? Mekabel, what do you mean? If you mekabel my tshuva, then I'll know this is going to be so. It means to say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mekabel the tshuva, so it means in terms of his relationship to God, nothing changed. He doesn't deserve The existence is only insofar as man relates to God. So he says, if God's makabel l'tshuva, it means that it's not considered as if my existence, insofar as my chataim is concerned, ceases. So then the effects will be in my son Shlomo. In my son Shlomo. If the tshuva isn't accepted, it means there's no reality. There's not going to be any realistic results in terms of my tshuva. So then it means that there's no relationship between God and him. So then Shlomo, then it won't be successful. So yeah, and that was the thing with Elisha ben Avuya and Reb Meir. That Elisha ben Avuya heard Elisha ben Avuya was sick, so he went to visit him, and he told him do tshuva. So he said he can't. He says it's too late. So what does it mean? It means he held that he went too far and that he lost his right for existence. So therefore...